Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Welcome to this fearless time that we get to have. It's been such a treat each and every Sunday to get a little sneak peek of our Path Academy classes. We have had an amazing time in Fearless. I have thoroughly enjoyed teaming up with my girl Brianna Dorelis for it. And today we're going to be talking about being fearless, which has become such a hot topic this year.
Yes. You know, I feel like because of COVID and everything that's happened with that, there have been more fears that have been realized and just manifested as a result of it. Mm-hmm. I actually did a poll on Instagram around just fears that we are experiencing. And so like one of those being insecurities, death, loneliness, fear of, you know, being by yourself, not being in a relationship. So yeah, this thing is real.
It definitely is, man. And I didn't realize how much of a fearful person I was, I think, until 2020 threw us a curveball. You know, I've always known I wasn't a risk taker, but being fearful, I did not know that I was. And let's define what fear is, okay? You know, the dictionary describes it as an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous and likely to cause pain or to be a threat. And man, 2020 kicked off and we had so many things that had the fear stamp on it. What do you think, Bree?
Yeah, you know, with these conversations and with fear and doing Fearless class, I think I had this question over and over and over again in my head and from others, you know, is fear a sin? Mm-hmm. Like we got to talk about, is fear a sin?
Mm-hmm. And that's really normal because, man, it's like 2020 has given us a lot of things to be fearful about. And this is why I love the scriptures, because they really make it clear, is fear a bad thing? Well, in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." So clearly, fear is a good thing. But like most things, it can actually be something that hinders us. How does that happen? Well, because of fears, we make decisions. And sometimes when we don't let God be the guide of those decisions and we let fear be the guide, mm-hmm. it can cause us to disobey God. He's set out something for us to do. And we say, no, God, we can't do that. You know, and that, man, fear can bring anxiety. It can make us sick. You know, there's been a lot of marital stuff going on because of fear during this COVID time. You know, it can be making us, you know, feel so fearful about our kids. Are they okay? Whether they're inside of the house or outside of the house. And so, you know, fear has this, you know, option and this power that it can really take us out. You know, the dangerous thing about fears and these type of fears, not that godly, I respect you fear, but that fear that keeps us from doing what God wants us to do. The dangerous thing about these fears is that they torment us, right? I mean, who wants to be fearful? I don't want to be fearful.
Right.
And they torment us. And then also we keep them around as companions. We almost feel safer with them, even though they're tormenting us. And we justify having them around. I need to have this fear around because. And so, man, it's kind of given us a moment to pause and think, what are those fears that I'm keeping around? You know, what are those fears that I'm giving life to? And what do I do with those fears? You know, the bottom line for me is what I think, you know, God has made clear from 2020 is you do not have control over your life, Christina Maldonado. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this pandemic has made clear there are forces working outside of your peripheral, okay, that have to be handed over to God. And so I think that's been our challenge and our focus is how do we give back control to God? And I say give back in quotations because right. He obviously is already in control, but how do we give him that control back? And how do we just remember that he is our protector and he has our best in mind? You know, Psalm 91 has become such a highlight for me in the Bible, specifically Psalm 91, verses 1 through 2. It says, "Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him." Yeah. And I love this whole passage because it goes on to talk about how God is going to protect us from those things in the darkness. He's going to protect us from plagues. He's going to protect us from terrors in the night. You know, he's going to protect us from all these things. But he starts off with this passage that I've got to choose to live in the shelter of the Most High. Now, what is shelter? Okay, when it's raining and I need shelter, I'm going to get an umbrella. I'm running somewhere where I can be under something so I don't get wet. Okay, black ladies with the hair. Okay, but it's a choice that you've made to live and run to. And so that's what we've got to do for our relationship with God. He alone has to be my refuge, not my best practices to protect myself from COVID or my finances or the walls I've put up or my intellect. That cannot be my refuge and my place of safety. Mm-hmm. I love this. This I declare about the Lord. And there's a confidence that we trust him. You know, I always thought, okay, if I was going to be fearless, like I had to be born with the fearless gene, right? Like it was either you fearful or you're not. And I'm like, well, I'm fearful. But what I'm realizing is that you don't have to be superhuman to live a fearless life. You just have to trust God in the toughest of circumstances. Mm-hmm. And I love getting to see examples of that in the Bible. And Ruth has become my new MVP. Okay. I've always loved her loyalty to Naomi. And just to preface their story, Ruth was actually the daughter-in-law of Naomi, and so was Orpah, and both of them were married to Naomi's sons, and unfortunately, Naomi's sons passed away, along with her husband. And so Naomi decides to go back home to Bethlehem, and Ruth and Orpah, who is the other daughter-in-law, decide to go with her. And along the way, Naomi says, "Listen, you guys are leaving your homeland to go to a place that you don't know. Why don't you return home?" And Orpah decides to leave, but Ruth decides to stay. And what I love about this is that, you know, Ruth decided to leave behind what she knew and what she trusted and to press on to the place that God had called her to go. What I'm even more convicted about with this story is that Ruth was a Moabite. So growing up with God in the household was not the norm. So this is even more of an unknown for her, but she decided to trust God. And so in the same way, we got to do the same thing. What things do we need to leave behind? Mm. What intellect do we need to leave behind? What trust factors or anchors do we need to leave behind? And what has God laid in preparation for us to do? You know, it's one thing to read about it. It's another thing to live it out, which I'm sure I'm not alone in having to figure out how to put these scriptures into practice during this time. But it definitely came up when we were trying to make the decision about whether or not our kids were going to go back to school. We did virtual school for a while, and it was a lot. Shout out to my teachers. Y'all are the bomb. But we decided, you know, January was coming up. Are the kids going to go back? And of course, I was like, no, they not going back. It's just not happening. Okay. I can give you all the research why, and it's not going to happen. My husband, on the other hand, was like, they're definitely going back. So we were at an impasse. And I think, you know, in the midst of that, what God was revealing to me was it's not really about whether or not they go back to school. It's whether or not you're going to trust me to let you to make that decision for you. You know, are you going to let God determine if they go back to school or not? Or are you going to dig your heels in the mud and say, I'm the mama bear, I'm the nurturer, I've seen the data, they not going back. And so then it showed me that, wow, that's how my decisions have to be going forward. That even though there's the what ifs, that I'm going to trust God along the way to make that decision. And it's not going to be easy. I mean, even for Ruth, you know, it talks about in Ruth chapter 1, how on this trip to go from her homeland to this new place, there was weeping involved. And so I love that example, because it's not like we're going to be like, okay, God, you want me to do that? Sure. You know, then it wouldn't really be much of a challenge. We would never struggle with being, you know, fearless. But, you know, she trusted God and she decided she was going to be weeping anyway, but she wept forward. And so we got to move forward. We got to press forward, even in those tough decisions that God gives us to make, and not weep and stay rooted where we are. So that's a little bit of what we talked about with being fearless.
Whew. Yes, yes. I love, love everything that you shared. Something that I think sticks out to me for Psalm 91. I will forever, forever hold that scripture, because it all encapsulates Jesus' sovereignty and God's love, God's strength, God's just love for us. And I am so grateful to be able to have that and hold that. And then another part, what you said, just weeping forward. Good Lord. Weeping forward, I think, is so important, because it helps me. I don't have to stay there. Mm-hmm. You know, God doesn't want me to stay there, but I can press forward. I can move forward, and there is a life to be had. Mm-hmm. And so I think about me, and I think about the times where I've had to weep forward. And, you know, what happens when our fear is actualized? The fear that we did not want to happen actually happens. Mm-hmm. What emotions do we go through? You know, what feelings come up in our hearts? How do we see our walk with God? You know, that's something that I've definitely had to experience, and I've definitely had to walk with God with. It reminded me of Job. There's a verse in Job 3:25 that says, "What I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me." And in a season of my life, that's how I felt. A couple of years ago, me and Chris were trying to grow our family, and I experienced not one, but two miscarriages within a 6-month period of time. And that shook me to my core. It shook me emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally. And the number one thing that continued to just come up in my heart was the feeling of being punished. And it was a punishment, not of, you know, I did something, you know, physically to make this happen, but I knew and I felt like, no, I knew this had to be a punishment from God, because he controlled, you know, everything that was going on with this child. I knew it was a God thing. And so when I started down that journey and that path, I started to experience a couple of things. You know, I got on this fear cycle. This, you know, number one, recognizing my fear is realized. The thing that I didn't want to happen actually has happened. And so what was, you know, the result of that? Number one, a feeling of just general hurt and disappointment and shame and not wanting to feel the pain, but it constantly ever so present being there, like Christina had already mentioned earlier. And then there was this feeling of guilt because I was actually experiencing the hurt and the pain. You know, can I feel angry towards God? Can I feel disappointment at what he's allowed to happen? Am I a bad Christian because I am now upset with the circumstances? Then I just felt this wavering of trust. You know, God, I sort of kind of tend to know what you're doing. AKA not really in times, but now I really don't know what you're trying to do. And it makes me waver in my trust for you. And it makes me want to falter, and it makes me want to give up and quit. Then I went along this feeling of, no, wait, there was something I did to deserve this. There was something that had to happen back in 2005, back in 2018 that I didn't repent for, that made this happen for God to teach me a lesson. And so then when it came to me feel like I deserve it, my personality kicks in and I think, okay, how can I fix this? So then my discipleship becomes a checklist. How can I get back in God's good favor? How can I then have him love me again? So then in my heart, God turned from this, you know, graceful, loving, personal father to this unlovable person that did not care for me. He became a punisher. And so going down that cycle, I had to change my mindset. I had to change my way of thinking. I had to change my heart posture. And I had to come to a realization that at the end of the day, I may not know what is going on. I may not understand God's plan and what God does and doesn't allow. But at the same time, I can still trust him in the process. And he's still holding my hand in the process. And one of the things that helped me so much was this, was just leaning on the promises of God. And one of the promises that I hold on to, when I held on to back then, is the promise of never being separated from his love. And so in Romans 8, 37 through 39, I'm going to read this. It says, "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future or any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Who shall separate me from the love of Christ?" Wow. So I asked myself that question at the end, who shall separate me from the love of Christ? If I know that God is not going to separate himself, that Jesus loves me and that he's not going to separate himself, then I can't separate myself. And I know that I can't be the catalyst for that separation. So God, I know that you have to be near to me. I know that I can't separate from you, have to be close. And so I can't abandon him because I know that he's not going to abandon me and I have to trust him through that process. So I had to keep focused. I had to refocus and reflect over and over and over again on some really specific questions. And so one of those questions was, you know what? If I never get what I asked for, are you still good? I had to ask myself that over and over and over again. Are you enough? And will you be enough? I had to ask myself, if I get what I asked for, then are you better? Are you better now because you gave me a blessing, but you're not good enough for me when, you know, I don't get the blessing? And I had to continuously ask myself, you know, do I have that sense of entitlement? You are supposed to bless me because I am your child. You know, you're supposed to be there for me because you said in your word. But what does it look like when you're not there for me in the way that I want you to be there for me? What happens then? Where does this entitlement come from? Where do I feel the right to say, because I'm your child, I do not have to, you know, have any fear? You know, where's that in my heart? And so I had to continuously focus and refocus all the time. And guess what? I'm still in that process. I am weeping forward, like Christina said. I have guilt that sometimes plays into it, these lies from Satan that try to eat me up. And God continuously holds my hand, sits with me, and shows me that grace. I cried a couple of weeks ago thinking about the pain that I had suffered, about the babies that I'm gonna see in heaven. And then at the same time, yes, I have a beautiful daughter named Artise. She's 8 months old, but guess what? At the end of the day, I have to give her back to God. I can't say, yep, God, this is my blessing. You've given me to her now. All the fear is gone. No, the fear isn't gone. Now I have new fears that I'm going to have to surrender back to God. So the blessings are not just the Band-Aid, right? You have to give the blessings back to God. And so at the end of the day, God did not promise that we wouldn't go through hard times. He didn't promise that our fears would never be realized, but what he did promise is that they would not take us out because he's there for us. And that's the hope that I have and the hope that I hold on to.
I love that. That's so good. I think that word entitlement, it really hits a nerve, you know, because we feel entitled to get what we want, but then we also feel entitled to be suppressed from anything.
Right.
And so, you know, I appreciate you sharing your heart so much with us, Bree, because it's hard. It's hard when we do live out those fears. You know, I know for us over the holidays, we got COVID as a family. Mm. And it was like, wait a minute, God, I've been studying Psalm 91. I've been praying. I've been chanting. No plague will come near my tent. What is happening? And in the moment, it was so hard. Shame, embarrassment. Mm. What did I do? All of those things. But I just love your perspective of we got to go back to God. We got to trust him for who he is and that this is happening for our benefit for some reason, which I didn't see in the moment, but it's so crazy to think about because my kids had COVID over the break and that I had prayed for their protection when they went back to school. And now because of COVID, they had an element of protection over them. But ultimately, of course, we trust in God. So you talked about a lot of great stuff. Okay. And I would just love to get your opinion. You know, when you're in the moment and you feel, yes, God, I've got to go to you. I've got to persevere. You know, I watched you walk through a lot of what you just shared, but what do you say to someone when they just are fighting to have that perspective, but it's just not happening? Like, what do you feel like helped you when you were not in that space of God, you're sovereign, you're holy. I trust you.
Yeah. And I feel like both of those instances, like you're consistently in God, you know, I love you and I trust you, but then also in God, I don't know what this is and I don't know if I can trust you. I feel like those two things mm-hmm. simultaneously happen. And I can honestly say, and this is what anchored me during that time, it was, God, my absolute worst day, most weakest day, most horrible day with you is so much better than my strongest day, my most controlled day out in the world. Mm-hmm. I'd so much rather be with you in my feelings, in my fear, in my emotions, in my hard times, mm-hmm. because you can take it all. Mm-hmm. But the world, if I tried to give that to the world, mm-hmm. there's no anchor there. And they have nothing for me. There is nothing for me. They will drop the ball every time, but God is secure. And that weakness that I feel, that hurt that I feel, all of that I feel, he can take it. And so that's what helped me through that time.
Yeah, that's so good. And I think, you know, just to close out, I think we want those anchors to be the world. You know, in the old days, they had calves and they had idols. Mm. And we're like, well, we don't have that anymore. But we kind of do. We have our intellect. We have our methods. We have our money. We have our setup. And so, you know, I think the challenge is if we're going to be fearless, we got to go back to God. We got to trust him. It's got to be more about our relationship with God than any outcome that we experience. And, you know, with that, it's probably just going to be taking it a day at a time, right? As we navigate this space and we navigate those difficult times. And I'm so grateful that we have God. And I'm so grateful that we have each other, just relationships to be able to walk through those times with. So, men, I know you were sad that you did not get the fearless class because I heard some of y'all felt some type of way. But hopefully today you felt like you got a little sneak peek of what we got to talk about with fearless. So,
and, you know, as we think of communion, as we think of our time with God, I think, you know, there was something that Jesus went through on the cross when he was getting prepared for the cross. He was praying, you know, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when we think about what Jesus did on the cross, there was a time when he was separated from God's love because of us. Mm-hmm. And the most amazing thing about our love story is that we never have to be separated from God because of the sacrifice of his son mm-hmm. and the way that Jesus loved us. And because of our salvation, Mm-hmm. Because of that cross, we have the hope of heaven. Mm-hmm. If all else fails in this world, mm-hmm. when we are connected with God, we have the hope of heaven. And so at this time, we're going to pray for our communion, and we're just going to think about that hope and the love that Jesus has for us.
Amen.
Dear God, thank you. Thank you, God, that you are our protector, that we can be fearless in you because we know that you have the answers. We don't know everything, God. You are the ultimate sovereign Father. And I thank you so much that you have created this love story, God, to get us back with you. Mm-hmm. I thank you, God, that when we deal with our fears, when we deal with those hard times, when we deal with our pain, God, you are there. Mm-hmm. You don't abandon us. You are still there. You are still present. God, thank you, God, for the moments that you give us those hugs through other people, mm-hmm. that you give us your love through the scriptures, God, that you give us that care, Father, through prayers, that we get to communicate with you. Mm-hmm. God, right now, I have a special prayer, God, for those who are dealing with their fears currently, mm-hmm. who are dealing with present fears, God. Give them the strength to cling to you, mm-hmm. the strength to trust you, to know, God, that nothing else will satisfy them but you. God, I pray now during this time as we think about the cross, as we think about the ways in which you loved us to the point of death, that we realize, God, that our best days are with you, mm-hmm. and our worst days can be had with you too, and we can see you, God, in heaven, and we have the hope of heaven. I thank you so much for this time. I thank you, God, for just the ways that you come through for us, God. Even if we don't see it, even if we don't think you're there, we know you're there. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for this time, and thank you so much for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.